If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's the easiest way to find out what channel the game's on? Sports on What? Subscribe to the Sports on What app and quickly find the channel for every provider, satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Download today.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
All right. Here's what you guys are doing. You're at an NBA basketball game, and you get called down during a timeout to take part in a basketball competition with another attendee at the game.
All right.
Okay. What is the injury?
What do we do? Are we shooting free throws?
You're basically doing a number of different shots to be able to get a game piece so that you can play tic-tac-toe with another opponent. So the first square or circle that you could get is by making a layup. Then if you make...
My ankle.
If you make a free throw...
Yeah, I mean, I know this one, but he blew out his knee.
He blew out his knee, basically. So every time you make a bucket, you get another X or O, depending on what team you are. You're trying to win tic-tac-toe.
Yeah.
You hit a free throw, you get another X or O.
Was this his first event?
Yes. You hit a three-point shot, you get another X or O, and you continue to do this until you win the game, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is the very beginning of the contest. Keep in mind, this is a quick game promotion. They are in a timeout. This is not halftime.
Oh, this is a timeout?
This is during a timeout of an NBA basketball game with Atlanta and Portland. This happened last night.
In Atlanta, right?
In Atlanta. Here's the audio.
All right, then tick, tack, go! Oh! James! Oh, no! Hold on! Let's make sure my guy is good! Oh, man! This is not really a... James.
Who is it?
And here's the difference.
James.
If this had happened in Portland, and I said this to the guys in the stairs that were in Portland, had been like, oh my God, are you all right? Well, this happened in Atlanta. Like, oh!
James.
Oh, James.
Yeah, Portland had been like, Kale's down.
Now right. Listen. Okay, so...
Who's going to teach second grade tomorrow?
He plants his left knee before going up for a layup, and that thing locks and slips. So obviously the floor was slick at that point, or he just, for whatever reason, slid the way he did. They put him in a wheelchair, all right? If you keep listening to the audio, he's screaming, all right?
Oh.
They put him on a stretcher. He went out of the game on a stretcher and then went to the hospital. X-ray confirmed that the fan... tore his ACL in the middle of that contest. So today, tell us what you were doing We'll try to guess the injury that occurred. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Johnny. Welcome to the men's room.
What's going on, you flatlanding city slickers?
Hola.
Where do you live, Johnny? Where do you live, up in Index?
Lake Taps.
All right.
I don't know if Lake Taps counts as the mountain country, but go ahead.
Yeah. I can do your whole segment on stupid things I've done, but we'll just get to the point. I'm in my garage on a treadmill, watching TV, drinking a beer.
Is the treadmill moving?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's moving.
That's multitasking, man. Drinking a beer while you're working out.
All right.
I'm saying your face planted on a thing, got rocketed off the back.
I'm saying it sped up to the point either you tripped and smashed your head into the handrails in the front of the machine.
Negative and negative.
Okay, what happened?
All right, so I'm on the treadmill watching TV, drinking a beer, and it's going along at a pretty good clip. Now, I'm a welder and a fabricator, so I've built this ornate window screen over my big bay window in my garage so nobody steals all Johnny's stuff. So part of it I have incorporated in prison wire, serpentine wire, and you can actually straighten serpentine wire if you're very careful and you know what you're doing. So it's real ornate window screen. So I thought instead of shutting the thing off or getting off, I would just take and pull my hoodie up over my head as the thing's gone. As I got my arms up, stretched out, my finger on my right hand catches the top of that serpentine wire. And it doesn't matter how fast you run on that thing. That stuff is really sharp. By the time I got the hoodie off, it had sliced from the inside of my finger, from the knuckle all the way down to the fingernail.
Oh, my. So you're on the treadmill. You got your hoodie on. You're trying to take it off. When you put your hands above your head, you make contact with this thing.
Yes.
Wow. Okay, I would never have guessed that.
Not in 10 million years. Now, does that knock you off the treadmill at that point, just based on pain and the shock?
No. I mean, I knew I was in trouble. And I knew my wife was going to go, what in the hell are you thinking? Be that as it may, by the time I got the hoodie off, it had sliced my finger on the inside all the way down.
Okay.
And then when you look at something and it hasn't started bleeding yet, you know that it's cut really deep.
Right, yeah.
So needless to say, I did go to the hospital and I did take the next day off.
All right, I got to get deeper in the head of Johnny a little bit here, okay? So... are you a regular exerciser?
No.
I did not think so, because he was drinking a beer on the treadmill.
Was this doctor's orders that you need to walk a certain distance every day, or what was inspiring you to get on that treadmill?
My wife's sister said, hey, can I put this in the garage for a while? And I went, hey, this is kind of cool. It's got a beer holder.
That's a water bottle holder.
I'm not sure it's for beer, but wow. I like where your head's at.
You think, it's amazing. Every single exercise machine
has a beer holder.
And the gym has a beer holder, too.
I thought I would just try this thing out. It looks kind of cool, And I didn't put into effect that, the serpentine wire is right above my head on the right.
Was that your first time on the treadmill?
And last,
yeah. That was going to be my follow-up question.
Yeah.
All right. I would not have guessed that.
Yes. Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Like, a doctor told me I needed to work out, but that's not going to stop me from having a cold one.
But it has a beer holder, Miles. I mean, it's built right in. I wonder if you said it to the cops when they pull you over, like, well, my car came equipped with beer holders.
That's what I was thinking. Is this the kind of guy that goes, well, it's a beer holder?
It's a beer holder, man.
I mean, I'm not going to judge him. Try not to, but when the doctor says you can't exercise, I don't think they mean drinking while you're
drinking beer. Well, he didn't say not to.
Hell, I'd even give you credit if you walked 2 miles to a bar.
Yeah, that's true. Right?
It just seems odd to actively
on a treadmill.
Well, okay, beer.
Hang on, real quick though. Outside of maybe randomly shooting hoops, like. Trying to think, I guess golf,
softball, golf.
Well, okay, yeah, you're right. There's a couple sports,
but even with hoops, you don't take it out on the court with you. You have to stop the game.
But hear me out on this, okay? Sometimes it's just best if you have a treadmill and you have a television in your living room or wherever you got your treadmill set up where you can watch television. You might want to. So if you're trying to get to the point where you can walk an hour on the treadmill every day,
yeah.
So you put a show up on there that's an hour long. You get on the treadmill at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the evening. You walk your hour. I mean, you're not flying or anything. I think that would be a perfect time to be like, look, I'm watching what I want to watch. I've got an ice cold beer.
Sure.
This is going to inspire. It's not going to hurt me. This is going to inspire me to get on that treadmill every night and get my hour walk in. And I don't think that that would be, I don't think that that would be bad for you at all.
Well,
you're
getting
the carbohydrates you need.
I'm saying, but don't they say a beer is good for you after you've done, like, you know, 3K or something, right?
Yeah. That's what I mean. Chocolate milk. You think of the things that people drink after they... I've been to many races where you run into a beer garden.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been to many races where you end up in a place with a big tub of chocolate milk and everybody's just sitting there guzzling it.
But we also have the presence of mind to recognize that that is not specifically a beer holder.
No, that is correct.
It's not inspiring
the beer,
you
beer
to
holder
drink a beer.
On the treadmill.
Yeah.
Right, I guess that's what's different, is he's just actively doing it.
Hey, look, a beer holder.
Cool.
Not really. Maybe on your folding chair.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of, like, especially in Seattle, like, there's a lot of, like, these run clubs that get together, and they run, like, a 5K or whatever, and then they meet up at a bar.
Yeah.
But, like, outside of the beer mile, it just seems odd.
Well, those guys down on Brooks on the Burke Gilman, man, they'll run, turn around, and run right to the dock or PI or the Fremont Brewing Company and sit down. And
but they're not running by you with a beer in their hand.
No, they are not.
Right.
Because they don't have a beer holder.
Plus, it's just hard to do athletic stuff while you're drinking beer.
It is. Because one of your hands is occupied.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like my man's style.
Well, the beer mile, man, I mean, that's done that once. That's a little bit crazy. Tell us what you're doing. We'll try to guess the injury that occurred. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Josh. Welcome to the men's room.
Good afternoon.
Hola.
All right, Josh, what were you doing?
So that last one is interesting, to say the least. So vacuuming out my truck in my shop. Simple as that.
You're backing your truck out in your shop. Okay.
Yep.
Did you say I thought you said vacuuming.
Vacuuming.
Oh, you're vacuuming your truck.
I'm going to say you pulled a muscle in your back or pinched a nerve.
Ooh.
I think, is your truck a little taller? Is it lifted?
No. Standard size.
All right.
Truck.
I'm going to say you scalp the top of your hand while vacuuming underneath the seat.
I wish it was that easy.
I think somehow you fell and bonked your head.
Oh, yeah. That would have been better.
Okay, so what did you do?
So I'm getting done with passenger side. On my way out, I have a stack of lumber, and the door bounces off the stack of lumber, hits me between the cheekbone and my right eye, giving me a just over 3-inch gash, about 3/8-inch open.
On the side of your face?
Yep. Full-blown black eye, swollen, and a giant scar that has not gone away.
How many years ago was this?
Oh, this was... about a year ago.
Do you take your car or truck to get detailed now?
Yeah, shouldn't I?
Yeah, more than likely.
So, I just learned to open the doors all the way with nothing for the door to bounce off of.
So when people ask you, hey, man, how'd you get that scar? Do you come up with something better than that, or do you tell them the truth?
No, you know what? Yeah, that story varies, because that's just embarrassing to say what I told you guys.
So if I asked you at the bar, like, what story would you give me? Right? Just top of your head, hey, man, I never met you before. What's up with that big-ass scar on your face?
Well, obviously a cool fight.
That'd okay.
Way back.
I would go with a wild animal.
Yeah. Guy had a blade. I didn't know it. You know.
So yeah, something like that.
I kicked his ass.
Oh, I beat him to death, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tell us what you were doing. We'll try to guess the injury that occurred. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Jesse. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Okay, so I was kicking it at the kitchen table. I'm 9 years old. And I was tilting back in the chair. You know how you kind of push off from the floor and balance on two legs?
Yep. Mm-hmm. At 9, yes.
Yep.
At 9, yeah. My mom told me a million times, don't do that, don't do that. Yeah. So that's what I was doing.
That's what you're doing. I want to say that you
burned yourself.
Took it too far and smacked the back of your head into something and opened it wide open.
But that makes too much sense that she fell backwards.
I'm going to say you had something hot, like on a plate, but your hands are on the plate. But when you tipped back, whatever the hot stuff was ended up on you.
I think you fell backwards and then bit your teeth went through your lips.
God.
Nope.
Okay, so what happened?
Okay, so these chairs were the old cast iron metal legs, hollow.
Mm-hmm.
One of them broke right in two, like kind of snapped, and I fell back, and it shot up my leg,
Ooh.
Right in the back under the knee, and I was kind of stuck on it.
Oh, so you basically
impaled your knee pit on the broken leg.
Exactly. Yeah. There was about 2 inches of metal leg up. My mom had to pick me up to get,
Do you realize that the back of your knee is one of the most sensitive places on your
body? It's soft and sensitive? Yeah.
Yeah. You can tickle yourself under the back.
I bet you Jesse knows that. How loud did you scream when this happened?
Actually, my mom said my eyes were really, really big.
Yeah.
But I didn't say much.
Okay. That's kind of
an hour, my eyes were just like huge.
And I'm guessing she took you to the hospital?
Yes. Went to the hospital and they took some tweezers to me, got a bunch of metal out of my leg, and then scrubbed it with what looked like an SOS pad.
Do you remember that experience?
Oh, yeah. That was lots of fun.
I was like, how bad did that hurt?
Like a mother.
We understand. You. Yeah, once they have to scrub metal shavings out, that's. I'm too young to remember this, but I guess. Oh, I'm trying to think of the exact story. My brother, to this day, saw this massive scar above his left or right knee. I don't remember which, but it's just always been there as long as I've known. So I guess he was about 5. I'm about 6 months old. We're visiting my grandparents, I believe. And I don't know if my father had asked him to. Like, hold this into the lawnmower or something. I think they were trying to change the blade in the lawnmower or something. But either way, the lawnmower was not running. But the lawnmower dropped, and the blade of the lawnmower cut into... cut deep into his leg.
And, you know, if anybody has a sharp blade on a lawnmower...
It's going to be my dad.
It's going to be your dad. It's going to keep that maintained.
That thing...
It's not going to be a dull, rounded thing.
He keeps him in shape.
He probably's got a file and crap out there making sure...
Man, if you knew my dad...
It's like a steak knife,
Thing could probably cut through, rebar. That's the way he is, right? But anyway, so this lawnmower dropped on his leg. My parents said, they'd never heard him scream that loud. I'm like, well, that's fair. But apparently, I came in handy, you see, because even at 6 months old... Because we're at my grandparents, they don't quite know what to do immediately. Because they pulled this thing out, so there's blood everywhere. My brother's losing his S. But because I'm a baby, I had diapers.
Oh,
so they grabbed one of my diapers and made a tourniquet.
Oh, yeah.
Which, as a child, thought that was the funniest thing in the world. I get it as an adult, but every time I heard that story as a kid, I'm like, they put one of my diapers.
What your dad doesn't tell you is his main concern at the time was blood in his vehicle.
Oh, yeah, I don't want blood on my blade.
Exactly. Like, as much as he cares about his son, and I know the urgency of this.
I know how my dad is, man.
And the first thing in the front of his mind is, how do I get this kid to the emergency room without him getting blood all over my car?
Especially his car, man. Yeah. Actually, when I was growing up, man, mowing the lawn one time, and my father, he just walks out in the backyard, and he just yells my name, right? And so turn off the lawnmower. And I'm like, what? It's that voice that says he's pissed. And I'm like, I have not done anything. So I'm just like, what? And he's pointing down at the grass, and, it was a headless snake. And obviously, I rolled over with the lawnmower. He was asking me if I did it on purpose was the point, because my mother, much like you, Ted, terrified of snakes, and she could find a snake in the backyard from 8,000 miles away, right? So he's like, look, we got to just get rid of the body, because if your mother realizes there's snakes in the backyard, I'm going to spend the next 24 hours
looking
to her.
Looking for another home.
No, that was his point. Like, we're going to have to move. And he's like, you know who your mother is, so let's find this thing. So now we're looking around the yard for the head. We can't find it anywhere. And so my father goes, look, I guess Snake just looked up to see what the noise was and found out real quick. But then he adds, think of how clean that cut is. I'm like, so you're right back to his blade. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a clean cut. I'm like, yes, Dad, you have sharp lawnmower.
Good work.
Yeah. Oh, it took one out for you?
Yeah, man, good work. Chopped off his head.
His head, yeah.
You're like St. Patrick.
I really am. I really am like St. Patrick.
Tell us what you're... I'm like the Easter Bunny. Tell us what you are doing.
We'll try to
guess the injury that occurred. 206-803-ROSS.
Easter Bunny makes Easter Bunny.
He makes more bunnies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You take him out. Hello, Gerard. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
Hey, so third grade, I was climbing in a tree.
I'm going to assume you didn't fall up. a branch broke, and you went tumbling down.
I'm going to guess this one is it happened to a buddy of mine when we were in grade school. He was climbing a tree. He fell off, and a branch impaled his arm and tore one of his muscles.
Wow.
Okay. I'm going to go out on
the
limb
here.
He almost died. Those make too much sense for my comfort. I'm going to say you were climbing a tree and accidentally nudged or discovered like a hornet or bee's nest.
Oh, that's a great guess. Uh-huh. Great guess.
Okay. What happened?
Well, I was going to call in a couple of months ago when you guys had a question was, what happened to you down there?
Oh, no.
So, there was a creek behind the house where I grew up, And somebody had nailed about 5 or 6 feet off the ground, nailed a 2x4 between two trees. And they weren't really huge trees, maybe like 5-6 inches in diameter. And they also had like nailed pieces of 2x4 to the tree to make a little ladder to climb up there. And so I was with a buddy. We each climbed up one side of the 2x4, and I was standing at one end and he was at the other, you know, right by the trees. And my side gave loose. And I kind of slid down the tree like a fireman's pole and knocking off all these pieces of wood that were on there. All the nails were sticking out. Ended up, the final, it was over 30 stitches in the scrotum there.
Holy cow. How many nails did you hit? Did you rip it wide open?
I have no idea, but I remember they were just like, there was ones from the boards I knocked off, plus there were old ones that were just like from who knows when. It was just like, it was just polluted with nails.
Wow.
And yeah, luckily it was all skin though. I mean, I fathered two kids and they both look like me. And,
are you sure?
And the bummer was it was in September. And so they had all, it was a Sunday afternoon in September, so they had all these like little football leagues and everything. They took me to the hospital, and there were so many injuries, you know, dislocated shoulders, elbows, all this stuff of all these football guys. I mean, I just sat there for like 5 hours before.
Oh, my God. My scrotum is wide open.
Yeah, I'd be like, look, man, I'm not trying to call first and last. My kid's scrotum.
Exactly. Look at this. Yeah, well, get me in there.
They kept squirting this stuff. It looked like blueberry jelly on it. It was supposed to like stop it from bleeding and stuff, and yeah, that was good times.
How long did it take before you could just sort of walk normal again or sit down?
Oh, they gave me basically, it was a jock strap that had a little hole in it for my penis to come out, and you know, you could like had straps and everything to keep everything tight. Probably 3 weeks, I had to like just crawl on my hands and knees to go to the bathroom.
Oh.
If I stood up, just the weight of everything pushing down on it. I mean, it was horrendous, you know. So yeah, it was probably a couple weeks at least, you know. Then I could finally start moving around. I just laid in bed all the time.
Yeah. I would too, brother. And I'm 56. That is not what I would have guessed.
Tell us what you were doing. We'll try to guess the injury that occurred. 206-803-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Well, they fired their old manager. And I guess hug and made up. New originals are back. They are reunited
once
again. The men's room 20th anniversary world tour stop number 3 happens at Muckleshoot Casino with the reunited new originals. Saturday, April 12th at 2 o'clock, absolutely free show. We'll have the men's room beer brats from Uli's Famous Sausage, the men's room roasted red salsa from San Juan Salsa Company, and of course, men's room IPA and 20th anniversary lager from Black Raven. It's a free show as we say cheers to 20 years.
Yes, indeed. You're right.
On the rock.
The manager was taking our money. At least the $80 that our man been made in the 15 years of existence, man. I'm pretty sure he pocketed at least 50% of
it. So I asked the new manager, I said, how are you going to make money off of this free show? And he just stared at me with a blank look in his eye. But either way,
it's simple. Robbery.
Saturday, April 12th at 2 o'clock at Muckleshoot Casino. It's going to be a fun afternoon.
I get paid a quarter for every note.
Every note. So Ted will drag it out, much like Axl Rose.
How many songs you doing? One or two?
Just one. Not making much.
So not a lucrative payday on this one.
That's $1.50 right there.
Tell us what you were doing. We'll try to guess the injury that occurred. 206-803-ROCK.
I know what time we play, too, that song. Don't think I won't.
You know what? You should, man. Just drag just that the bitch out everybody. At the end. Yeah. As long as you have breath in your lungs, drag that bad boy out.
You'll hear me right before it goes.
It's a way to do it. Hello, Lana. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys. Thanks for making us laugh every day. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you for laughing.
I hope you make us laugh.
Be funny.
Yeah, come on. You owe us.
Come on, man. You're a comedian. Say something funny.
I used to be a comedian, so it'll take me a minute before I come up with something, and then I'll throw it at you.
Wait a minute. Were you seriously a comedian?
No.
Okay.
But you played one. You played one on TV. Okay, what were you doing?
But finish that. I always had a flair for just throwing something out to make people laugh.
Okay.
Not a bad trait.
I just opened my pants, and people just start dying of laughter.
I can believe that.
Thank you.
Oh.
Thank you for your support.
You made me laugh. Yeah.
But you know, it's all how you move, not the size.
Yeah, I suck at that too.
Tell that to my ex.
Mm-hmm. I can't dance.
They got devices for that.
Yeah. Yep. All right. So, what were you doing when you got injured?
Okay, so I was getting into a car.
Getting into a car. I will say that you somehow accidentally closed the door on your hand or finger.
I'm going to say you smashed your face at the top of the car as you were getting in.
Hang on. Dislocated your knee getting into the car.
Believe it or not, I wasn't paying attention to who was talking, but the first guy who said, that's what I did.
So basically you smashed your hand into the door, or the door closed while you had your hand in that location?
This was an old 70 or 71 boat that was my sister's car, and the passenger side door handle, you couldn't get into it. So the driver's side, once you got in, you had to reach over to open the door. And I got in the car, closed the door by, you know, the side like most people do, reached over, and I'm like, why am I 4 inches short from reaching the door? And it just wouldn't go. And I look over, and the door is completely shut, and my thumb is above the lock.
Man, and I'll tell you what, once those things got on the swivel, because they were on a kind of a pivot system on those doors,
yeah.
Like one notch, two notch, three notch, and if for whatever reason, gravity or just the way the car was parked, that was that thing was like a death guillotine.
I closed my foot. I was probably like 6 or 7 years old, and we had those. They weren't even Converse. Remember those like those blue fish head shoes your parents would buy in the 70s, right? So I had a pair of those on, and I only remember this because the door sliced it clean. It sliced my toe, but not very deep. That's the best way to put it. But we had a 73 Pontiac Grand Am, same thing. Old-ass car, big-ass car, weighed 12 million pounds. But I'm little, and I'm lucky I get to ride in the front seat with my mom, but I got to close the door. And we're leaving, I think, the grocery store. But I physically had to get out of the car, grab the door with both hands, like throw my ass into the passenger seat and swing it shut. But I didn't realize my right foot was hanging outside of it. So the door closes for 1 second, doesn't quite latch, pops open. And as my mother says, you just screamed at the top of your lungs. And I remember looking down at my shoe, and it was just this clean cut. And I saw a little bit of blood. I thought I'd cut my toe off. It really wasn't that bad. But as a kid, that heavy-ass door, man, on your toe,
the sedans back then, the door was, it was the size of two doors.
Yeah.
So the weight on that thing was insane.
That's when I discovered, and that's one thing about my dad, you know, just his car is his baby, man, no dings, no scratches, do not eat inside of it, don't even sneeze inside of his car, but he would yell at me and my brother every time we went anywhere, he'd pull up into a parking lot, and we're too young and too weak to have control over this big ass door on the Pontiac, man. So, and this thing was, God damn it, stop hitting the parked cars next to us. We're like, man, we're not doing it on purpose. Brother, this door is like 400 pounds, and both of us are trying to stop it from hitting the car. But I swear to God, every time we got out of the car, we got yelled at again every single time. And then when you're
it was constant.
You couldn't not, man. And I was so thankful when they started producing four-door cars, because I'm like, okay, the door's late. It is not. Yep. It's 6 feet long. I don't hit parked cars anymore.
Tell us what you were doing. We'll try to guess the injury that occurred. 206-803-ROCK.
Back in the day when my niece and nephew were little.
Yeah.
And my brother lived, they lived in an apartment building, whatever. So the spots are really close together. Right. But they were like six or seven. But having that just ingrained in my memory about hitting the other doors.
Yeah.
So I would just drop them off at the door and then park the car and be like, stay there, don't move. Because I was like, I don't want to get mad at them. Because there's nothing they could do.
They can't do anything.
They got to get out of the car.
Right. Boom.
But the spots are so close. So I would always just be like, all right, get out here. Right. It's a parking lot. There's not really other cars. Like, stand right there. Don't move. I'll park the car.
Hello, Joe Dredd. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, guys. So I was crowd surfing at the Paramount Theater in 1991.
Who were you seeing?
Alice in Chains, and they were doing a homecoming show for Christmas.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
What I think Christmas? I think Jerry Cantrell.
Me too, man. Alice in Chains for Bing Crosby, Alice in Chains, Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
I'm going to say
we're here to spread Christmas joy. Here's Down in a Hole.
Yeah. I'm going to say... they dropped your ass.
You're crowd surfing. Ooh, somebody put something where they shouldn't have.
Yeah, that's not a bad guess.
Oil check.
If you call it, it makes it even worse. Oil check.
Yeah, I'm going to say you got dumped on your head.
Is that Joe Dredd? Oil check.
Miles, you're damn close. You're the closest to anybody. So this was before the Paramount got remodeled, and there were fixed seats, and everybody was just standing at their seats. Nobody was partying. Nobody was having fun. They were just standing there staring at the stage. And a buddy of mine, of course, I was not sober at the time. Buddy of mine goes like, dude, you got to crowd surf. And I go, well, hoist me up. And they put me on top of the people, and the people passed me towards the stage. But little did I know that between the first row and the stage was an empty orchestra pit.
Yep.
And I was head first into this thing, landed on my left shoulder, and broke my left arm.
Oh, damn.
Wow. Joe, I will say, in your defense, I've never tried that, but I've always wondered, how do people not get hurt more often crowd surfing?
Well, it's got to be a packed place,
Right.
If it's packed, we used to, back in the day, we used to crowd surf at the Central Tavern and whatnot, and that's because it's packed. But the Paramount is the actual theater.
Right.
Like I said, I had no idea there was an empty orchestra pit, and that was the downfall.
That's why you don't do it on the mezzanine level.
Just the word. That would have been bad. That would have been real bad.
Yeah, you're right. The theater, and Joe makes a really good point. When the show is packed, you're absolutely fine. In fact, it might even get to the point where you want to get down, and they're just like, nah, we're going
to
keep you up.
Didn't you try to stage dive one time and the whole part, the sea parted?
We are in the band, all right? And this show, for whatever reason, this was just one of those shows where everyone is absolutely vibing off each other, right? And it's an awesome show, but keep in mind, as we're playing, people from the audience are jumping on stage, and they're diving out into the crowd. And I watched them disappear on top of people's hands. So as we're playing this song, and it's maybe three songs in, I'm like, oh, it's going to be that kind of show. I'm taking advantage of this. So we get this little break where I don't have to do much. So I take this running jump as I had seen the other people do. Now, keep this in mind. This was not my idea. I saw other people doing it. All of them successful.
If your friends jumped off a bridge, would you?
Depends. Okay. What's the situation?
How deep is it?
I leap off the stage, and I just remember, you're up in the air. The stage is already, 4 or 5 feet high, whatever. And I just remember looking down, and everyone just moved out of the way, kind of like Moses parting the Red Sea. But this was not what I wanted to do. And I just crashed into the cement floor. And then everyone does the, oh. And I'm like, well, you're going, oh, but you catch me, man.
Come on.
I'm like, that fat dude did it. That ugly chick did it. That guy over there did it. I saw all these people. You got each other's back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then I jump off, and literally just the crowd just parted like curtains, and I'm like, and as you're coming down to the ground, I'm like, this is going to suck. And guess what? I was right. That's the best thing I saw on the stage. My buddy Tony's playing, and he's a fantastic guitar player, right? And so he does, like, this blistering solo band. We're just in this good groove. And I'm not looking at him, but you just hear this. And I turn around, and the mic stand itself, the base of the mic stand was one of those, like, cast iron round ones.
Yeah,
heavy. Instead of a tripod. So apparently, as he explained after the show, his toe, when he went up to sing, right, he finishes a solo, he's going to go sing. Well, his toe lands on the edge of that, but the microphone rockets forward, right, because it's off balance, smashes him in the mouth. His mouth just explodes with blood. If you knew Tony, it's even funnier just because it's him. And he kept singing the song, but he didn't even try to act like he was happy about it. So he's finishing the song, and he's just singing with this angry face, blood pouring out of it. And, of course, the crowd's going nuts. They think it's
hot, hot, hotter than hell.
And just the look on his face. And me and the drummer, when we finished the song, we had to take, like, an extra two-minute break just because we were laughing. He was so pissed.
Tell us what you were doing. We'll try to guess the injury that occurred. 206-803.
Have you seen this rapper named Dave Blunt?
I know his name, but no.
He is massive.
All right.
And he keeps talking about stage diving.
Come on, man.
I mean, Miles, you're looking at him. That guy, guy's
the guy that wears an oxygen mask when he...
Yeah, before him's on stage with oxygen and sits on a bench.
He's stage dive.
That's what... He claims at some festival his fans love him so much, they will get him.
No, listen, man. I believe that his fans... What's his name? DJ Blunt?
Dave Blunt.
Dave Blunt. Just Google his ass. Now, listen. I believe his fans would love to catch him for him. I don't know anyone who has the human strength to catch that. No. He's going to land on top of people who had a good intention, but
if you don't catch him, it might be his last show.
If I drop a bowling ball off of the fourth story of a building, and Mike, you say, I'm going to catch this, I believe it will make contact with you.
Correct.
But I don't think you're going to catch it. That's a big, big, big boy.
Isn't his song, I Can't Put Down the Cup, and then the common comment is, you should put down the cup?
Yeah, he's talking about drinking lean.
Yeah.
He's like, can't put it down. Like, I love it, this and that. And people are like, yo, first of all, like, drinking lean, we've seen through countless rappers.
Come
stuff,
on,
not
man.
Good for you.
Yeah.
But, like, my man, like, you're already, you know what I mean?
And he's not going to stage that. He's going to stage belly flop. Brother could not die. It is impossible for that man to die. He's just going to walk off to the edge and do the nesty plunge. Just fall the hell off and hope someone catches his ass. I'm not being mean. Look at that dude.
I mean, he's literally performing with oxygen on stage. And, like, I don't know. I mean, like, generally people got to be really sick or really old to be using oxygen. Like, that to be that big and that out of shape. He's only, like, 23 or something.
Damn.
Tell us what you were doing. We'll try to guess the injury that occurred. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, hola.
Hola.
How's it going, fellas?
We're doing well, sir. Thank you.
So, I was laying in bed next to my girlfriend.
Laying in bed. All right. So, we had a guy a couple of weeks ago. His dog jumped into bed and ended up shooting him. I'm going to say that's not it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a possibility your girlfriend hated you and stabbed you with scissors.
Let's say, I'm going to go stab.
I'll say you sneezed and broke a rib.
No.
You rolled out of bed, ended up hitting the floor, like, between the nightstand and the bed, and messed up your face.
No, you guys will never guess.
Okay, what happened?
It was a Murphy bed, and it sprang back into the wall.
No. So, what happened was, my girlfriend and I were laying in bed next to each other. She was on my right-hand side. We were looking up at her cell phone, which she was holding. And she dropped the cell phone, and the corner of the cell phone hit me square in my right eye.
Oh, damn. And
instantaneously, lightning flashes of light, and it hurt pretty good. And, you know, sometimes if you get your bell rung, you kind of see those, you know, stars.
Yeah.
So the next day, you know, I woke up, my eye was bothering me, and I had a little bit of a shiner on my lower eyelid. And I had massive floaters. It was like pepper everywhere. Hmm. And little did I know at that time that was a classic sign with the lightning flashing as well, that your retina detached.
Oh, my.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah, so, and this is right before Christmas of last year, of 2024. And
About a week later, you know, the floaters started going away. There were some, but not as many within, you know, the first few days. So I was at work, and I started noticing a shadow going from the bottom of my vision up to the top. So by lunchtime, now the shadow had reached about halfway up, and I couldn't see anything below that. So I decided to get into the doctor, and sure enough, you know, I detached my retina. I also had a retinal tear. Now, the thing about our human vision is that what is up is down, what is left is right. This is how our brain interprets it. So my retina actually detached from the top. Hence is why the shadow was going from the bottom to the top.
I didn't know that.
Right. Yeah. You reverse everything.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't know that. Didn't know that either. So the doctor had told me this tear was on the right side of my retina towards the top. If it was anywhere in the middle, he'd be. I'm in Tacoma, and he would have sent me to Harborview, then and there for surgery.
And all you were doing was laying in bed.
Yes, and she dropped your phone.
How big is that phone?
I know, right?
Like, Jesus, I mean, is it like a size of a tablet?
It was a rotary phone.
I know. Like, was it a titanium space shuttle phone that she had crying out loud? Yeah.
So I guess they reattached your retina?
Yes and no. So this is right before Christmas of last year. So the day after Christmas, I went in for my first procedure or surgery. They had to insert a gas bubble in my eyeball to help keep my retina attached, because your retina is actually in the very back of your eyeball. So at the retinal doctor, I was sitting literally in like a chair, and I had to take a shot to the eyeball, a needle to the eyeball, numbing shot. And so these armrests on this chair were so short, I had nothing to grab a hold of. The only thing I could grab a hold of was the doctor's pant leg. And thank goodness I have a couple kids, so I know something about Lamaze. I'm literally breathing, knowing these needles are coming in. So actually, truth be told, the numbing shot wasn't that bad at all. I really didn't feel that. However, the shot for the gas bubble, I definitely felt that.
That is weird.
Can you feel the bubble in your eyeball?
Yeah, and if you roll your eye around and look around, you can see it. It's literally rolling around. And that was in my eye for about 2 months. And then in addition to that, I had to have a medical tag on my wrist. If I was ever had a medical emergency, you know, they couldn't put me under anesthesia because of that gas bubble in my eye. And so I also had...
You're wearing a medical alert.
What would happen if they put you under anesthesia? Because obviously, like, you were sleeping at night, so what's the difference?
Right. I couldn't tell you. I don't know. But I was also, you know, it also said on that tag not to go above 3,000 feet in elevation.
Jesus. Wow, man.
Yeah, my daughter, speaking of those medical alerts, I bought her a really nice necklace.
All right.
I mean, it was a nice, it was, the pendant did not, it was not that crazy looking. You could see the snake thing or whatever the hell the deal
was. Yeah.
I was very small, but she wouldn't wear it because she thought it was ugly. And I'm like, look, kid, this has nothing to do with this being I said, would you prefer a tennis bracelet?
Right.
Would you prefer, what else can I
do? Earrings?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if we're going to look at that or not. I'm like, but you need to have this information on you just in case something happens.
Yeah.
Like you go swimming or something and, you know, whatever the deal is, just, you know, and she wouldn't wear it. I was like, this is just.
So she didn't wear it.
You're pissing me off, woman. You know what I mean? Like, you don't understand. Like, oh, I don't really think, and I don't want people saying stuff, and blah, 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 blah. I'm like,
it's seizures.
I don't care, man.
Right.
I don't care. You're wearing this.
Did you finally wear it?
No. Yeah, boy.
Who Sucks Less is coming up at 4:30, and we got your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.